We're going to continue in recovery all. We all need recovery, and we need to be a people in a whole people in a broken world. Matthew 5, verse 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You can be seated. The R in recovery stands for realize I am not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. So when we realize this, this is a blessing and a help in our life. Matthew 5, verse 4, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Amen. The E principle is earnestly believe that God exists. So we also remember that we're not God, then we have to earnestly believe that God exists, and that I matter to him. Amen. You believe God, that you believe he cares about you? Amen. We have to believe that you matter to him and that he has the power to help us to recover. All right? Matthew 5, 5, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. The C in recovery is consequently choose to commit all my life and my will to Christ's care and Christ's control. Amen. So he wants to care for you. He wants to be in control of your life. Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All right? The O is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, all right, to God and to somebody that I trust. Amen. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The V in recovery is voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. Amen? That was an interesting one. All right, Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed is the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The E in recovery is evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me and make amends for harm that I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. All right, Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, the Amplified Version says it this way in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath or passion, rage, bad temper and resentment, anger and animosity and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, which is spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Now, there are many newspapers published in America daily, in North America. And there are limitless possibilities that exist for error, both human or mechanical. And add the crushing pressure of deadlines, and it's surprising there aren't more mistakes that you would see in the paper. When a goof-up happens, editors scurry to print corrections, sometimes even with even more hilarious results. An example of one is, here's printed in there, it said, important notice, if you are one of hundreds of parachuting enthusiasts who bought our Easy Skydiving book, please make the following correction. On page 8, line 7, the word state zip code should have read pull ripcord. Okay. Here's another. If yesterday's food section, an accurate number of jalapeno peppers was given for Janice Crowley's southwestern chicken salad recipe, The recipe should have called for 2, not 21 jalapeno peppers. So I ask you, have you ever tried to correct a mistake in a relationship and actually made things worse? Huh? And that is why we are studying the Beatitudes in this series, and we want to recover from the hurts others have inflicted on us and from the damage that we have done to others without making matters worse, right? The problem is that we just mess things up when we try it on our own, and that is why we are studying. We all need recovery. So today's text gives us 2 important principles to help us in repairing our relationships. Number 1 is forgive those who have hurt me. And number 2, make amends to those I have hurt. And we have already learned in this series that the why is more important than the how, because when I understand why I do such things, it will be much easier to figure out how to do it. Okay? So for each of these steps, I want us to look at why and the how. All right? Forgive those who have hurt me. You say, well, why? Because God has forgiven me. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So when I remember how much God has forgiven me, it makes it a whole lot easier to forgive other people. And you will never have to forgive anyone else more than God has already forgiven you. Come on. When you have a hard time forgiving others, it is usually because you don't feel forgiven yourself. Right? So people who feel forgiven find it easier to be forgiving to others. People who feel unforgiven find it difficult to forgive others. So because resentment does not work, right? Resentment does not work. God is not pleased with us holding resentment. Job chapter 5, verse 2 says, surely resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. The Bible sometimes just plain and blunt, isn't it? Resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. You see, Job tells us that resentment is unreasonable. Job tells us that resentment is unhealthy, and he says it is unhelpful. So does resentment ever cause people to do stupid things? Yes. It's like shooting yourself. You'll hit somebody else when the gun recoils. You always hurt yourself more, folks, than the other person. Really. Anger is a waste of energy. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9 says, control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. Job 13, 3 through 4, you may tear out your hair in anger, but will that destroy the earth? Will it make the rocks tremble? See, when you get angry, when you get resentful toward somebody, you do not hurt them. You're all upset about something, and it's not even bothering them. They're probably grilling a hamburger or something. They don't even care whether you're mad at them or not. Right? And it makes you miserable. You're there ranting and raving, throwing things, breaking stuff, cussing, yelling. Your family's crawling down behind the couches and stuff, and they're home cooking or sleeping. But they've forgotten about it. Resentment cannot change situations in the past. It cannot correct problems in the present. And does not change people in the future. It just makes you miserable. Have you ever talked to someone who said, I feel so much better about being resentful? No. Never. Job 21, 23 through 25. One person dies in prosperity, completely comfortable and secure. The picture of good health, vigorous and fit. Another person dies in bitter poverty, never having tasted the good life. See, resentment has shown that the unhealthiest emotion people have is resentment, because it's like a cancer that eats you alive. Bitterness has physical consequences. Have you ever said, that guy is a pain in my neck? He may indeed be the pain in your neck that caused, he may be the pain that caused your neck pain if you have resentment toward him. Dr. C.S. McKillen wrote this. He said a book that showed that the two greatest causes of physical problems in life are guilt and resentment. He said, it is not so much that you what you eat, it is what eats you that matters. Nothing drains you emotionally like bitterness. It just prolongs the hurt. It's like an emotional suicide. You need to forgive those that hurt you for your own sake. You say, well, why is that? Because I will need forgiveness in the future for myself. Right? We need forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. So resentment, folks, resentment blocks your sense of God's forgiveness in your life. The Bible teaches that we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. You see, it's dangerous to pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us, Lord, our debts as we forgive our debtors. I wonder how many people pray that, don't even think about the bitterness and anger they have towards somebody. See, Lord, forgive me as much as I forgive everyone else. Right? Forgiveness, folks, hear me. Forgiveness is a two-way street. One man came to John Wesley and he said, I can never forgive that person, never, never. And John Wesley said this, then I hope, sir, that you never sin. Come on. Do not burn the bridge that you have to walk across. You say, well, how? How do I go about this? You have to reveal your hurt. Reveal your hurt. You cannot get over hurt, folks, until you admit that you hurt. Right? Here's your options. How do you get over it? You have to admit it. You can repress it, and you can pretend it didn't happen. Or you can suppress it and pretend that it's no big deal. Or you can express it and let your anger get the best of you. Or you can confess it, admit that it hurt, and deal with it. You see, people say, well, I'd really like to close the door on my past. I'd like to get closure so this person doesn't hurt me anymore. Well, that's fine, but there is no closure without disclosure. Understand this. There is no closure without disclosure. You have to express it. You have to admit it. You must first admit that it hurt. Then you can get over the hurt. See, some people's pride is so strong that they won't even admit that somebody hurt them. And it's eating them up inside. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to everybody around you. You're miserable. And because you don't want to admit that you were hurt. We must admit our hurt. Psalms 55, 12 through 14. It is not an enemy who taunts me. I could bear that. It is not my foes who so angrily insult me. I could have hidden from them. Instead, it is you, my equal, my companion, and close friend. What good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. We have to admit our hurt in order to get disclosure. You know what, folks? We have to release the offender. Right? The only way that you can release the offender is to forgive them. And a lot of times they might even know it, but you gotta release it. And don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness, because they may never think that they needed to even ask for forgiveness. Besides, you are doing it for your sake, not for theirs. You are going to need forgiveness in the future, so you must obey the word of God. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22 says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? What are you thinking, man? He's really being generous. And God says, no, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Jesus is saying that forgiveness must be continual. Well, we took care of this once, and I forgave you once. Don't ever do it to me again. Continual? Because if you don't continue, those feelings will keep coming back. And if every time that happens, every time they come back, you must forgive them again. Remember, it's not for them, it's for you. So how do you know when you have released an offender fully? You can think about them, and it does not hurt you anymore. That's one way, right? You could pray for God's blessing on their life. Well, now, Pastor, you're really pushing it now. You want me to forgive them? Then you want me to ask God to bless them? Why not? They're your brother. Huh? That's right. You can understand their hurt. All right, this is another way. You can understand their hurt instead of focusing on your hurt, because hurt people hurt people. Right? Listen, folks, you can't get rid of the past, but you can get rid of the pain. Right? You can get rid of the pain. Now, they can't change what happened. It's done. It's over. It's done. But get rid of the pain that you carry with you year after year. Now, let's replace my hurt with God's peace. We need to replace the hurt in our lives with God's peace. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So let God settle the score. He said, vengeance is mine, right? Let God settle the score. After all, he can do a whole lot better job than you can. Right? Let God have the last word. Let them have the last word. I'm sorry. Let them have the last word. You know, some people get mad because somebody's always got to have the last word. Big deal. Relationships, folks, can sometimes tear your heart into pieces, but God can be the glue that glues these pieces back together and covers your heart with his peace. And that's why you need to reveal your hurt. You need to release your hurt and replace your hurt. All right? So reveal your hurt, release your hurt, and replace your hurt. Make amends to those that I've hurt. Okay? Go to those people that you would say, why? Well, because unresolved relationships are the root of your problems. And they prevent recovery from happening in your life. That's what we're talking about here tonight, is having recovery in your life. All right? Now, you have to take the second step and make amends to people you've hurt, as well as releasing the people who have hurt you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God, which out, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Now, you have to let go of unresolved relationships if you want to enjoy the happiness and that God meant for you to have, all right? God meant for us to have happiness in our life. God wants us to live abundantly every day, right? More abundantly. So he wants us to have this happiness. So in order to get there, you have to let go of the unresolved relationships if you want to enjoy happiness that God meant for you. You say, well, how do we do that? Number one, you need to make a list of those that I've harmed or what I did. All right? I can't think of anybody. Well, figured you'd say that, so here are a few pointers to get you started. Number one, do I owe a debt to someone that I've not paid? Or number two, have I broken a promise to someone? Three, am I too controlling or too possessive of someone? Another one says, I am too critical of someone. Are you critical of people? You probably offended somebody. All right? Have I been verbally or physically abusive to someone? Am I unappreciative or unattentive toward someone? All right? Have I been unfaithful or have I lied to somebody? Or you could just say, well, if that's enough, Pastor, all right? Is that enough to get you started? You really need more help? I think that ought to cover the gamut, right? So you go down through those lists, and I think you can figure out somebody that you probably offended. All right? Now think how I would like someone to make amends to me. How do you want somebody, if they come to you, how would you want them to make amends to you? How would you want them to talk to you, treat you? Luke 6, verse 31 says, to do to others as you would like them to do to you. So you don't just walk up, you know what, I probably said something to you one day and I probably offended you, so I'm sorry. How do you want them to treat you? Think to yourself, if someone were going to apologize to me, how would I want them to do it? And then, that's how I need to treat other people, right? Now, let's look at some issues that you need to consider. If you're going to go talk to somebody, you need to make sure it's the right time, okay? You don't want them to be so busy they're not even have time to really pay attention. They'll be walking around, yeah, okay, and they're doing this, all these different, okay. Let's find a time when you can sit and talk with them or something, all right? So you need to have it to be the right time. Ecclesiastes 8, 6 says, because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Make amends when it is best for them, not when it is best for you. Well, I tried to make amends, but they just didn't have time for me. Make time for them. All right? Do not rush things. All right? The next one, the right attitude. The right attitude goes a long way, doesn't it? Ephesians 4, 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So simply say that what I did to you was wrong. You know, a lot of people do it this way. Well, what I did to you is wrong, but no buts. Look, I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. I own it. Own what you did. Don't give them excuses. I've had people give them and what you call backhanded for apologies. And you're like, why did you waste your breath? Come on. We've all got them, right? And listen, don't make excuses for your actions. Just assume the responsibility. Now, they may have had a part in the problem, but you are just trying to clear up your side of the ledger. If they want to apologize then at that time, that's fine. If they don't, that you do your part, right? Do not expect anything from them in return. Just apologize, all right? Don't hold them to anything, folks. And the more serious the offense, hear me, the less likely it is that you are going to be able to make restitution right then and there. Here's the thing. You are going to determine that you're going to take care of things that you've wronged, then do it all the way through. Don't just say, well, I went up and apologized, I'm done. No, you make sure that it works itself all the way out. Give them time, give them space, but you do whatever it takes to make that situation right. Right? And there are some things that you cannot restore that you've taken away from other people. But do not underestimate, folks, the power of a sincere apology. Okay? Now, it also has to be appropriate. Proverbs 12:18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. There are some situations you would not want to revisit without much prayer and fasting. Okay? So make sure, in Romans 12:18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So there are some things that you know that I really messed these people up or whatever, and I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to fast about it before I even approach anything. You may want to get, you know, your pastor or somebody you trust involved, you know, and tell as little as possible, but get them involved in prayer. All right. Refocus my life. Refocus your life on doing God's will starting today in all your relationships. That is what recovery is all about. As long as you focus on someone you resent, you're allowing them to control you. And if you continue to resent them long enough, folks, you will eventually begin to resemble them. Come on. What you focus on is what you become. Amen? Do not let your past control your present and future. You see, folks, God is the greatest recycler there is. He wants to recycle the emotional garbage in your life and bring good out of you. So how does he do that? Well, here's some wise words from the book of Job. In Job chapter 11, 13 through 16, if only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer, get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind you. Then your face will brighten with innocence. You will be strong and free of fear. You will forget your misery. It will be like water flowing away. So, put your heart right. Reach out to God. Face the world again. Right? You see, you cannot manufacture enough forgiveness for all the times you're going to be hurt in this life. But you just do not have, folks, we do not have the ability, because human forgiveness eventually runs dry. All right? And that is why you need to plug into Jesus Christ, so that he can daily give you the forgiveness that you need to refocus your life. Every day in him helps me to become a better person. Every day in him helps me to be what I need to be to others. Come on. So plug into him, and he will help your life to help you refocus in the areas that you need to refocus. Say to yourself, I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. Come on. We have the victory in him. You're not a victor anymore. Don't laugh at me. I'm just kidding. She said amen. Her husband says amen. Oh, my goodness. So we're not a victim, right? We are not victims. We have victory in Jesus every day, folks. We need to be overcomers. And so then when we do this, folks, when we start focusing like this, all of your troubles will fade from your memory. That's one of the goals. I want to have the mind of Christ. I don't want to be constantly thinking about all this garbage. I don't live that way anymore. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a joy it is to live in that kind of a life. So many people have so many things, so much bitterness that they hang on to, that they become miserable. And remember what I said, you become what you focus on. And you think you can be bitter about people and just live an everyday life, you're wrong. If you focus on that, that's what you become. And we don't want to be that way. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand here tonight. Thank you all for being in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Appreciate your coming to the house of the Lord to help grow your walk in Him. It's so important that we need to feed ourselves with this. Amen. As often as possible. God bless you. Greet one another. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.